Oh God, we are so grateful for your presence here this morning. We are so grateful that you have called us in your word. Help us to hear you more clearly. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear what you would have to say to us this morning. And Lord, we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the words from Jeremiah should not sound entirely foreign to our own experiences. Obviously, there's some difference in the details of our lives between the king and ourselves, but the reality of the whole sweep of Jeremiah's ministry is proclaiming the word of the Lord to the hearts that refuse to hear it. And I don't know about you guys, but the majority of my own Christian journey has been spent praying that I might not only be able to hear God's word to me, but that I also might be able to do it. Of course, like the people of Israel, I am often drifting away and finding myself far from God's purposes and following the desires of my own heart. And our text highlights the refusal of King Jehoiakim to heed the word that was given to Jeremiah that he had been dictated on a scroll and burning that scroll. How do we respond when the word of the Lord comes to us? Do we even recognize when it comes to us? This morning, I want to reflect on what God actually wants from us. He wants our hearts. He desires to be with us, to cleanse us from our sin, and to make us whole. But our sin corrupts everything in our hearts and around us, and it must be done away with. And our text from Jeremiah shows this, the fundamental issue with the king. His heart was far from the Lord. It was cold and hard. His hardness of heart, he rejected God's word to him and to his people, and this led to disaster. Now the Lord says to Jeremiah, take a scroll and write on it all the words that I've spoken to you against Israel and Judah. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way and I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Chapter 36 of Jeremiah is probably the most informative narrative in the Old Testament concerning the preservation of prophecies in written form. You have two in our section here. The first I just read, take a scroll and write on all the words I've spoken to you. And then after the king burns that scroll, the Lord says, take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll. Now prophets in the Old Testament were often called, right? We're called to proclaim God's word to his people. And most of the time, those words were not overly positive. They were actually quite negative. Sharp critiques, not only of their people, but the leaders in particular, who have led the people astray, who have done wrong. And this occurs frequently in the Old Testament, right? There is an all too familiar pattern in the life of Israel. God rescues them, sets them up to flourish, and then they immediately drift towards sin and evil. And idolatry, right? And even prophets such as Isaiah and Ezekiel always are proclaiming this sort of impending doom, impending judgment due to Israel's unfaithfulness. And even in Jeremiah, earlier in chapter 7, he says this. He says, but they did not listen to or incline their ear. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their own evil hearts. Now, when Israel was split into two kingdoms, you have the northern kingdom under leaders like Ahab and Jezebel. They embraced idolatry, leading eventually to the conquest by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Then Judah, despite periods of reform under kings such as like Hezekiah and Josiah, ultimately fell to Babylon due to persistent disobedience and idolatry. And here I'll just have a couple examples of other prophets throughout the Old Testament that say very much what the Lord is saying this morning to the king in Judah. All Israel, Daniel 9 says, transgressed against your law and turned away, refusing to obey your voice. So the oath and the curse written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. And in 2 Kings chapter 17, all this happened because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh. They worshipped other gods and walked in the customs of nations that the Lord had driven out. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. And finally, in Ezekiel 20, this is not finally in terms of like all of it, But in another example here of one prophet, Ezekiel, who actually was a prophet in the time of exile, said, "Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not follow my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances. They utterly profaned my Sabbaths. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath upon them and put an end to them in the wilderness." Now, if you haven't picked up on the pattern of Israel's life, they don't listen to God. He frees them, sets them up, gives them everything they could need, and yet they drift, right? And a little further down in our text, it says, "It may be that their plea for mercy will come before the Lord, and that everyone will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and wrath that the Lord has pronounced against his people." Time and time again, the Lord sends messengers to his people, and they reject those messengers. Again, there's nothing new under the sun. And this isn't just an Old Testament thing. Jesus speaks of this very thing in Matthew 23. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who sent to her? How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling." Oh, how we do the very same thing. Even if it's not a particular person sent to us, we have the written word. When we hear the word read to us or preached to you. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, who's preaching to the Sanhedrin, he says this, and I feel this is a direct attack on me, actually. He says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit just as your fathers did." And as we go further down in our text, as the king has read three or four columns, he would cut them off with a knife, throw them into the fire and in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire. This symbolic tearing of the scroll and putting into the fire will serve to be deadly for the king and for the house of Judah. The words on the present scroll deal with the covenant between Yahweh and his people, and consigning it to the flames will bring to pass the curses.